Good afternoon, everybody. Greetings from Fe y Esperanza, Southgate, California. I am Pastor Martha Moscoso. Working in Fe y Esperanza Lutheran Church at Southgate. I am from Guatemala, and what else I can tell you? I have 17 years worshiping at Southgate, and it's a really big blessing to be here with all of you. As you know, my first language is Spanish. I am good in breathing, but I'm trying to do my best in a speech. So please, I'm so sorry if I make mistakes, but I will do my best. Thank you. Dear Lord, this is the time that your Holy Spirit is upon me and give me the strength and the words that I have to share with all my people. Amen. Well, all these weeks in August and September, Jesus has made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He has cursed the fig tree, cleared the temple, and he had his authority questioned. His teaching in the temple, it had been a day of intense debate, a war of wits and words with the Sadducees, Pharisees, and Herodians. They had been trying to trap Jesus, asking him what appeared to be honest, straightforward questions, but most of the questions were like asking a man if he's stealing, you know, from the offering plate. It's no a question. But it really wasn't too much of context. This false question in Jesus, as any debate, this has attracted a sizable numbers of spectators. One of those spectators was a scribe. It's a scribe? Mm-hmm. Scribes appear through the gospel, but except for this specific story, appear in a negative light. This scribe, a happy exemption, come to Jesus because he see that Jesus has answered his opponents well. The Sadducees have just tried to stop Jesus with a question about the resurrection in which they do not believe. There is a good possibility that this scribe is a Pharisee. And a Pharisee do believe in the resurrection. If he is a Pharisee, he must be pleased to see Jesus bet the Sadducee on that question. So he asked, which commandment is the first of all? It doesn't appear that he's trying to trap Jesus. This seems to be a sincere question. Which commandment is the first of all? Sound like maybe he's asking for the most important commandment, but it's possible that he wants a deeper response. Maybe he was looking for the commandment that will help him to understand all the commandments. Maybe he was looking for the commandment that will point his life in the right direction. Maybe he's looking for the commandment that will tell him in a nutshell all that he needs to know. Now, we need to know that the scribes were experts in Jewish religion law. The scribes copied the scriptures by hand and actually counted the letters on the page to make sure nothing was left out. They were also responsible to copy and note the commandments and the law. So here is a person who had great knowledge of, has intimately familiar with God's law. He has copied by hand over and over. He has memorized even. He has read and copied what other people had to say about it. And he come to Jesus and ask what the bottom line was. Out of all those laws, what is the number one most important thing? And Jesus gave him both of the most important number one thing. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this." These two are the greatest commandment. Jesus telling the scribes and us that if we love God, then we must love our neighbors. They go together like peanut butter and jelly. Like sunrise and sunset. Love God comes first. Then love your neighbor will follow. By the way, I want to ask you, when was the last time that you say, "I love you" at your neighbor, the person next to you? Can you please tell your neighbor, "I love you"? Thank you. Amazing, huh? We need to do that. Loving God comes first, then love for your neighbor will follow. Of course, I can send the question in your minds, what do you mean by love? And the question posed to Jesus in the Good Samaritan story, who is my neighbor? Historically, neighbor, as referred to in Leviticus 19:18, specifically meant the sons of your own people. But Jesus has expanded the definition of neighbor far beyond those borders. Our neighbor is the person who lives next door. Our neighbor is the person with whom we work. Our neighbor is the person sitting beside on the pew. Our neighbor is our child and our child friend. Our neighbor is the hungry person that we pass on the street. Our neighbors is the children and low-income families in need that we very soon will be visiting in Guatemala. We didn't get to choose our neighbors. We must take the neighbor that God sent us. And we must love them as ourselves. We are all God's children, and nothing will please God more than seeing us help another one of his children, our neighbors. How do we love our neighbors? On one level, that by me moving a sick neighbor along, or driving a car for meals, or another level, feeding the hungry, working with another churches, as we're doing now. We are so thankful in Fe Esperanza that God put you, all of you, in our church, doing a good work for others. On a still large scale, it means influencing public policy to help needy people get on their feet or ensuring accountability of politicians and corporations. We must love our neighbors. But just as we often have to do in the adult Sunday school class or children, Sunday children in school. But we need to define the word before we can answer the question. So what is love? How I will treat those people who come to know more about the God love? Love has defined in so many ways. A lot of people define love as a many splendor thing. Love is blind. Love is a rose. Love is a thing that the world needs now. The type that binds. A single soul inhabiting the two bodies. Love make the world go round. and never having to say you're sorry. I met and studied with a group of children in the Sunday school between 4 and 8 years old, and we asked you, what does love mean for you? And their answer was very amusing to the profound on their hearts. Let me tell you some answers. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Love is when my grandmother got sick. She couldn't even get up from bed, but my grandfather did for her all the time until her last breath. That is love. Love is when mommy see daddy smelly and sweaty and still say he's the handsome more than Tom Cruise. Love is when your puppy lick your face, even you left him alone of the whole day. I think those are really beautiful and good definition of love for the children. So we are to love our neighbor. But to love our neighbor, Jesus said that we are first to love the Lord our God. Without the love of God, we will never go on to love our neighbor. But it doesn't say to just love God, but love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. This isn't a halfway deal. It's all in, and all means all. So when you love someone with all your heart, you think about them all the time. You learn to be with them, and they are the priority in your life. We call this being in love, and it is wonderful. New Christian experience that kind of pure devotion for Jesus. The scriptures call it our first love. When they met Jesus for the first time, they thrill of getting to know him, consumed, and they want to know more that they would like to know. I remember when I met Jesus, I was, oh my God, why this didn't happen before? And you know, when we met Jesus, we experience unconditional love and acceptance, and we never have to forfeit that first love. Scriptures call us to constantly and continually love him with all our hearts. So we are not only love God with all your heart, we are to love him with all our soul. And to love God with all our soul means that our love for God ought to be full of passion. Finally, we are to love him with all our strength. Christianity, not just a heart dedicated to God, is a soul full of passion and love for Jesus, and mind commitment to consider to the whole world of God. To love God with all our strength means to love God in all that we do, all, no matter what. We need to know that loving God is impossible without loving our neighbor. 1 John 4:21 reads, "Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." In Matthew 25:40, we read, "Whatever you did for one of the last of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And the second command then becomes an explanation of how the first command is put in practice. This love or neighbor is what made the Christian faith the most powerful force in the world. And God more, God wants more than half-hearted attempts. God calls us to love with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength. Remember that God gave His all, and He wants our all. All in. And all means all. To God be the glory and praise.